All right, go over to 1 John again. We're going to be looking at chapter 2 again, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 27 tonight. Now, this is a really interesting passage, and I really struggle with this one because there's so many things that could be said about this, and it was not because I couldn't find anything to say, but because I found too much to say. And so trying to sort it all out and all that was a little difficult, so we'll see how it goes. 1 John 2:18 through 27, let's read it. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Now, we're obviously not going to cover all that tonight. There's no way. But what he's doing is he's continuing from verse 12. If you remember what we saw in verse 12, he was writing to those in different stages of the Christian life. And he encouraged those Christians to grow. Press on. Whatever stage you're at, press on. There's more growth. Press on into greater maturity, into greater strength, into greater effectiveness. He then began to warn us, we saw this last week, about two things that could hinder or halt that growth. First one was the sinful ways of the world. That was last week. That was verses 15 through 17. This week, it's the false teachers that are in the world. That's verses 18 through 27. And like I said, this is a tough study. I'm not a big headhunter kind of guy going around and saying, this guy's wrong, this guy's wrong, this guy. But we have to do that every once in a while. So I may upset some of you tonight with some quotes. You know, when you're a shepherd, you know, you're not always liked. If you want to be in a popularity contest, don't be a pastor, because if you're a pastor, who cares? Then you'll say things that people don't want to hear sometimes. So this was a hard study for me, but let's go on. Many antichrists are in the world. Look at 1 John 2:18 again. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. The last hour is that time between the first and second coming of Christ here in 1 John. It's that whole period. But I can honestly say that I believe we're in the final minutes of that last hour right now. I mean, it is happening, isn't it? We're watching it happen. He says there will be something that marks the last hour, the coming of many antichrists. And so you have the antichrist singular and antichrist plural. Let's look at that, what the difference is. The antichrist is a proper name, and it's used only in the epistles of John. This is referring to that final world leader who will arise at the end. He will oppose everything about God. Everything that exalts God, he will be against. And in fact, he will exalt himself as God, and he will demand that the world worships him, and the world will worship him. Now, the thought of the Antichrist coming is a very sober one. But it's interesting that John warns us that there are many Antichrists that are already here. So what is he talking about when he talks about Antichrist? It's those who, to a lesser degree, have the same characteristics. Who would this be? Well, it would be the false teachers, wouldn't it? That's who he's talking about here. The false teachers that are rampant in the church today. So the last days will have many false teachers. Turn over to 1 Timothy 4 to look at this. The last days will be marked by people leaving the faith and following heresy. Look at 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons or doctrines of demons. So there is the source of heresy, right? It is demonic. Heresy is demonic. Heresy is satanic. Heresy is right out of the pit of hell. That's why I don't understand why some Christians act like heresy is not a big deal. It is a huge deal. It's demonically inspired. It's satanic. Now, who does Satan use as instruments to promote his teachings? Look at verse 2. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. So he uses men and women, doesn't he? Satan uses false teachers to promote his teachings, to promote his heresy. So many antichrists are in the world right now and on supposed Christian TV using Christian lingo but teaching heresy. What is the goal of the devil in promoting these men and women? 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." One of the ways he devours believers, and one of the ways he's devouring the church right now, is through false teaching, through heresy, that the church is into this big, well, we got to be tolerant, we can't point it out, we can't name names, we can't, you know, got to be loving. And we're just allowing this heresy into our doors, and it's just absolutely destroying us, destroying the church. I hear of one church after another throughout the week falling, compromising, turning to heresy. It's unbelievable what's going on in the church right now. So John says, you've heard the Antichrist is coming, and he says, he's already here. He's already here. You see him in these men and women who are teaching heresy, who are moving in the same power he moves in. See, that's what he's saying. These Antichrist, plural, move in the same power that the Antichrist, singular, will move in. That's why he calls them Antichrist. Paul says in 1 Timothy that these men will rise up in a greater way at the end. Then in 2 Timothy, go over to 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Paul tells Timothy what it's going to be like in the church in the later times. He says, "Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct." Patiently correct. Karuk is correct and rebuke together. Patiently, I'm just trying to speed up the study a little bit and just combining words now. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Why? Verse 3, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." That's today, isn't it? That is today. That is what characterizes the church today. The rise of the Antichrist, then we see through scriptures, will accelerate, and people will want to listen to what they are saying in the end times. They won't want to hear sound doctrine. They'll want to hear lies that tickle their ears instead. Listen, they'll want to hear what Joel Osteen is preaching Sunday after Sunday, that God is your servant and he wants to fulfill your dreams, instead of you being God's servant and he wants you to fulfill his will. And that's a huge difference, isn't it? No wonder 40,000 people go there on a Sunday. I love what Paul says in verse 2. Because this is going to happen, he says, preach the word. Preach the word. Don't back down. Don't compromise. Don't lighten up. Preach the hard stuff. Preach the easy stuff without any compromise. Preach the word. Why? Because they don't want to hear the word. Don't give them what they want, Timothy. Give them what they need. You're a pastor. You're a shepherd. Tell them what they have to hear, not what they want to hear. Because they want to hear that God is going to fulfill all your dreams. They don't want to hear that he expects you to obey him, that he expects you to surrender and submit the entirety of your life. They don't want to hear that. But that's the truth. So, Timothy, teach them. Don't back down. Don't soften it. Don't compromise. Because they don't want to hear it. I love that. Every pastor should read that. That should be on every pastor's desk. Because they don't want to hear it, tell them. We're in those times today. The passage is up to date with right where the church is. Isn't it amazing how relevant the Bible is? Now John goes on to give us three characteristics of these antichrists, our false teachers, three things to watch out for. First one is they deny Christ. They deny the doctrines of Christ. They still talk about Christ. They still use his name, and they may even say it with a pious tone. They've got that stuff down, sometimes even with a tear in their eye, but they deny the doctrines of Christ. 1 John 2:18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Then look at verse 22 and 23. Here's who they are. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Go over to chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. As you put that all together, the key test for a false prophet is this. What do they say about Jesus Christ? Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the same Jesus Christ that the Bible says he is, right? Because there are plenty of Jesus Christ out there. Like I've told you, when I was in England, supposedly Jesus Christ had returned and he had rented a flat in London and he was living there. There are plenty of Jesus Christ, but is it the same Jesus Christ of the Bible? That's what matters. So what do they believe about Christ? Does it line up with what the Bible teaches? False teachers may deny that Jesus is God. They may deny the incarnation. They may deny that his work on the cross wasn't sufficient for man's salvation. There's all kinds of heresies, blasphemies. They use his name, but they deny who he is. It's not a biblical belief of who he is. So if their teaching doesn't line up with the biblical teachings of Christ, they are teaching doctrines of demons, energized by Satan. Let me say that again, because that's heavy, but these are the kind of things we've got to think through in these days of deception. If their teaching doesn't line up with the biblical teaching of Christ, they are teaching doctrines of demons energized by Satan. But they seem so nice, so sincere, so loving, so what? A ravenous dog may wag its tail while it's chewing on you, but it's still destroying you. Why should it surprise us that Satan's men would seem so nice? 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15 says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Listen, to deceive people, Satan's not going to send unappealing servants. You know who he's going to send? Men with a $1 million smile, men who are ultra charismatic, men who are funny, well-dressed, appealing. That's who he's going to send. Please get this. The test is, what do they say? What do they teach? Not what do they look like. Not what do they say they are doing. But I saw them do a miracle on TV. It's interesting how none of those miracles are ever verified. I was reading a lot about Benny Hinn's ministry, and they've gone in and they've tried to find a miracle that happened. They can't find any. But even if they could do signs and wonders, listen, who cares? Let's get this straight. Even if they could do signs and miracles and wonders, and if their crusades, all of those things that happened up on the stage was true, who cares? Don't use that to validate anybody. Matthew 24, 23 and 24 says, Then if anyone says to you, Look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. In other words, you can't believe what you see. You must listen. You must listen to what they're saying. Many will be led into destruction in the end times because they simply thought that a miracle validated a man. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 24? They are going to come doing signs and wonders, and they are going to deceive multitudes through these miracles. Who will be safe? Listen, here is who's going to be safe in these days we're in now. Those who know the Word of God and know how to test men by the Word of God. I'm going to give you a couple quotes here, and now you may get mad at me, but you know what? I love you, and I'm going to warn you. I promised you from the pulpit one time, I remember, I will always tell you the truth. Always. And so here we go. Let me give you a couple quotes. Remember, what we're looking at is, what do they say about Jesus Christ? Okay? Benny Hinn. Ladies and gentlemen, the serpent is a symbol of Satan. Jesus Christ knew the only way he would stop Satan is by becoming one in nature with him. You say, what did you say? What blasphemy is this? He became one with the nature of Satan, so all those who had the nature of Satan can partake of the nature of God. That is blasphemy. You can't get any more blasphemous than that. Jesus Christ became one with Satan in nature? Kenneth Copeland. And I'm just giving you a couple. I could go on and on and on. I had quote after quote after quote like this, but I'm just showing you some of the superstars. So you know you've got to listen to what they're saying. You've got to watch out. Kenneth Copeland. The righteousness of God was made to be sin. He accepted the sin nature of Satan in his own spirit. And at the moment that he did so, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So when Jesus cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because he became one with Satan, taking on his nature at that moment. You don't know what happened at the cross. Why do you think Moses, upon instruction of God, raised the serpent upon that pole instead of a lamb? That used to bug me. I said, why in the world would you want to put a snake up there, the sign of Satan? Why didn't you put a lamb on that pole? And the Lord said, because it was a sign of Satan that was hanging on the cross. Because it was a sign of Satan that was hanging on the cross. Brothers and sisters, you don't get any worse than that. You don't get any more blasphemous than that. You don't dishonor Jesus Christ any more than that. He was a blameless, pure Lamb of God hanging on that cross. Or that sacrifice was useless, wasn't it? Joel Osteen teaches that the cross wasn't sufficient for the forgiveness of sin. What he says is after the resurrection, there still had to be a blood sacrifice for our sins. After the resurrection, there still had to be a blood sacrifice for our sins. There still had to be a price paid. That is why Jesus presented his own blood in the high court of heaven as a sacrifice for all our sins, past, present, and future. Where in the world did you get that from? That is a denial of the doctrine of Christ. That is straight from the pit of hell. I could give you quote after quote from Kenneth Hagin, Frederick Price, Robert Tilton, Creflo Dollar. What a great name for one of these guys. Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplessis, Marilyn Hickey, and on and on. I could go through all of them. I just want you to know that many of the supposed superstars of Christianity are teaching things like this, and I'm just warning you, be careful. Listen to what they're saying. They are denying the doctrines of Christ. Like I said, that doesn't mean they're not mentioning him. It just means that what they're saying about him is absolutely wrong and blasphemous. Some people think it's not loving to mention names. I disagree. So does Paul. 2 Timothy 4:14 and 15, here's Paul. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. There's a pastor. There's a shepherd saying, here's a guy who is going to destroy you. Be careful. He's out to destroy you. Now, I get it. We live in a day where tolerance is held as the chief virtue. So, Bill, just be quiet. Don't upset the cart. What kind of pastor would I be if I believed that? Useless is absolutely right. I wouldn't love you. I'd be a hireling out in a popularity contest. I'm not going to say anything that gets anybody mad at me. But a true shepherd is willing to take the heat to warn the people he loves. Vance Havner said, our Lord sent his disciples out as sheep among wolves. Now the wolves are being invited into the sheepfold. So the spirit of the Antichrist is seen in those who deny the doctrines of Christ. Second characteristic of Antichrist, they depart from the church. Go back to 1 John, look at 2:19. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. When I say church, they went out from us, went out from church. I'm not talking about Grace Springs Bible Church. I'm talking about Christ Church in general. John talked about the doctrines of Christ. They don't believe in the doctrines of Christ. They teach blasphemy. I think this sweeps in the other vital beliefs that a church has. Justification by faith alone. You can go down a list of those cardinal doctrines that a church must believe. And they kind of walk away from that too. John tells us, though, it's normal for these false teachers to start in the church. At one time, they were baptized, a lot of them. They attended services. They served in the church. At one time, they even embraced what the church taught, the doctrines of the church. But they end up breaking away. They end up discarding the historical doctrines, and what is left is something they still claim to be Christian, but it's not Christianity at all. They become those Jesus warned about, Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Listen, they have all the lingo of the church down, don't they? Because they were in church. They know how to sound Christian. But listen, they're wolves. They're ravenous wolves. They know all the tricks. Like I said, watch them perform miracles on their TV shows. I mean, I can't tell you how many Christians that I've talked to that say, "Yeah, but I saw people throwing the canes away, speaking for the first time, hearing." You know what? I always wondered why these guys who seem to heal everybody in sight never show up in a children's cancer ward. You ever wondered that? Why don't you go do that? Go do something that counts. Why does it always, when there's a ton of money to be made, why is that the only time you're healing people? But like I said, even if the miracles were all real, that doesn't mean a thing if they're teaching heresy. 2 John 9 says, "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." If they don't abide in the teachings of Christ, they don't have God. It's that simple. If they're teaching blasphemy about Christ, they don't have God. That simple. I bring this up because we've got to understand this. These aren't easy studies for me. I'd rather just teach on the love of God and how I'd much rather tell you how great Jesus is than how wrong somebody else is. But when we come to these kind of passages in the scriptures, what are we going to do with it? We've got to teach it. And so here we are. Say, but how could they do miracles if they aren't from God? Right? That's what people think. How can somebody, what if it was a real miracle? How can they do a miracle if they're not from God? Well, you know what? Remember Jannes and Jambres in Exodus 7, the ones who opposed Moses? Did they do miracles? Match Moses miracle for miracle right up until creation. So we better get better at discernment, being able to tell who is real and who is not. I mean, Jannes and Jambres, Moses threw down the rod and it became a snake. What did they do? They throw down a rod. It becomes a snake. Moses went out and turned the water, the Nile River, the water there into blood. Jannes and Jambres went out. They did the same exact thing. Moses called up the frogs out of the Nile to cover the land. Jannes and Jambres did exactly the same thing. Right? Wasn't from God at all, was it? It was from Satan, and it was opposing God. So Paul warns us there will be men just like that in the last day, 2 Timothy 3:8. "Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Men who will amaze people by what they do, and they'll deceive the masses." Listen, it's already happening all over the world. False signs and wonders. And some of them may be true miracles. I have no idea. It doesn't matter. If they're teaching heresy, it doesn't matter. Just get away from them. Flee. Again, we better know the truth. Why? So we can spot the counterfeit. We better learn doctrine so we can spot the lies. We better know the truth so we're not swept away by the deception. Listen, many in these days, there are going to be many, many who are in the church swept away by the deception. So third characteristic of Antichrist, we have they deny the doctrines of Christ. They have departed from the church and its teachings. Third characteristic of Antichrist, they live an immoral, greedy life. Go over to 2 Peter 2. We'll look at verses 1 through 3. They live an immoral, greedy life. All right. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." I was doing some research on these faith teachers. I'm amazed at how many are being investigated for misusing funds. Millions and millions and millions of dollars flying around in private jets on the church's dime. They're sensuous. You see that in verse 2. That's what it says. In other words, they are in the ministry for power. They are in the ministry for money and the things that money can buy, the fancy cars, the huge homes, the luxury vacations, the air-conditioned dog houses. Remember that one? Notice how they get all the money. Look at verse 3. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. New Living Translation says, in their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. They will tell you about the 100-fold increase if you just send in your seed money. You know what, buddy? Why don't you try it? You send me some money, you get the 100-fold increase, and then you won't have to beg me so much, right? You won't have to somehow be so clever to where every scripture somehow turns into you giving. They're amazing at that, aren't they? How they can turn everything in the Bible into you give me money. They will preach a gospel that fixes your heart. Now, please listen to this. They preach a gospel that fixes your heart on wealth rather than Christ. Don't they? They preach a gospel that makes you more worldly than godly. I'd be careful. Galatians 1, 8 and 9, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. The heartbreaking thing is many will believe their teaching. They will embrace this gospel of greed, thinking they are following God, and they are as lost as can be. No wonder the Bible calls these heresies doctrines of demons, because of where it leads these people, right into hell. Benny Hinn actually warned that if you don't give your 10% to him, God will take 20% of your income through trouble. This is heartbreaking to me. Absolutely devastating. That the church has embraced this kind of teaching just breaks my heart, because I know so many brothers and sisters have been swept into this. Listen, I'm not saying that a true believer can't be rich. There are wealthy believers because of wise investments. You know, authors of popular books, those guys have money, but they're not fleecing God's people to get it. That's the difference, isn't it? They've gained it honestly. God's blessed them. They've used it for the kingdom, and God's blessed them. But these guys are fleecing God's people. And they're going to stand before God one day and give an account. And he is going to bring destruction upon them, the scriptures warn. Here's a qualification of an overseer. 1 Timothy 3:3, qualification of an overseer is not a lover of money. Not a lover of money. Not greedy, not covetous. When you hear somebody always pleading for money, be careful. The lover of money is disqualified as a pastor. He has no right being where he's at. These people are users of people. They view people as a means to their own ends. They gain a following to boost their own egos, and they fleece their following to fatten their own wallet. These men have thrown the word of God away. And have you noticed with these kind of ministries, they don't say much from the word of God. What they're doing is they're always talking about what God said to them. They've become the authority, the rhema knowledge. God told me this, God told me that. And then if you say, I don't think God told you that because it doesn't jive with Scripture, doesn't square up with Scripture, what do they tell you? Don't touch the Lord's anointed, right? God's going to destroy you if you touch the Lord's anointed. In other words, you can't question me. Got another one from Benny Hinn. This is from Praise the Lord on TBN, October 3rd, 1990. Man, I feel a revelation knowledge already coming on me here. Something new is going to happen here today. I felt it just as I walked down here. Holy Spirit, take over in the name of Jesus. God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, is a person, and he is a triune being by himself, separate from the Son and the Holy Ghost. Hear it? Hear it? Hear it? See, God the Father is a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Ghost is a person. But each one of them is a triune being by himself. If I can shock you, and maybe I should, there's nine of them. Huh? What did you say? Let me explain. God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, is a person with his own personal spirit, with his own personal soul, and his own personal spirit body. You say, huh? I never heard that. Well, you think you're in this church to hear things you've heard for the last 50 years? Guess not. So the Godhead, the Trinity, there's actually nine of them. This new breed of teachers is constantly saying, God has told me. And it does not matter what the Bible says. It is the people's responsibility to be good Bereans and say, you know what, I'm going to check you. Listen, guys, check me. with the scriptures, right? You check me. You be a good Berean. You listen to what I say, and you go, let me check with the scriptures and see if he's lining up with the Bible. And if I don't, come and confront me. Because one of the biggest fears I have in life is teaching heresy, is teaching something that's incorrect. Because heresy is always destructive. But these people that are following these guys, they just let them get away with anything. You know, I don't think there are nine people in the Trinity. We don't touch God's anointing. Oh, okay. While they act sincere, they're using the people, clever stories, clever techniques, to fatten their wallet. Fourth characteristic of the Antichrist, and we'll just go through this real quick. They devour God's people. 1 John 2:26 again. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. They are trying to deceive you. Listen, these guys know they're not being biblical. Nobody could do what they do with the Bible and think that they're being biblical. Nobody could be so clever in all of their techniques to try to get you to give your money to them. Even I read some quotes where they were trying to get you to clear out your bank account. Clear it out by faith. You got $982 in there, give me $982. You got $98, give me $98. Clear your bank account out by faith. Send it in, and God will bless you. They don't care if they take the widow's last mite. Couldn't care less. Listen, all they care about is their notoriety, growing notoriety, growing bank account. They are leading people to hell. And they themselves will stand before God in judgment. You know what? I could have gone into a 10-part series of quotes of what I've seen, what I studied. Can I suggest a book to you guys? Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century by Hank Hanegraaff. Great book. Just one after another says this is what they think about wealth, health, Jesus Christ, faith. And just one after another, quote after quote, all documented. Nothing, just I heard this, all documented in the footnotes of where it came from, what sermon, where they were, what the date is. Great book. My sole purpose in this wasn't to call out individuals so much, but I did want to call out a few of the superstars because they're the guys who represent this whole faith teaching thing. I wanted to show you what they're saying so that you can say, you know what, maybe I need to look into this. You know, I need to check this out. There are many antichrists in the world today. The church is filled with them. What do we see? They speak about Christ while denying the true doctrines of Christ. They're blasphemous. They depart from the church. They're not a part of us because they don't believe in what we believe. We believe that everything should be done in a way that glorifies Christ. We believe that no man should be lifted up. He alone is the attraction of the church, and they are building their own little kingdoms. They are sensual, Peter says. They're materialistic, and they're greedy. Clever inventors of separating you from your bank account. They're deceivers and they know it. They have abandoned the Bible that would humble them. And they, like I said, they build their own kingdom. They seek notoriety. They abandon the Bible and they come up with these clever techniques to enrich themselves and exalt themselves. You must know the truth. And that's why we're going to do a study on theology here coming up. I'm still studying that. Pray for me. You must know the truth so you can spot the counterfeit. Listen, these are not days to not know your Bible, are they? These are not days to go by feelings and emotions. These are not days to go by what you see, because you cannot trust what you see, because Jesus himself said that what you are going to see will deceive you in the end times. You've got to listen to what they say. You've got to be a good Berean to be safe in these days we're in now. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you that John and Peter and Jesus, Paul, all of the New Testament writers, Lord, did not pull punches when it came to a false teacher. Lord, these men of such patience, such love, such kindness and mercy, Lord, when it came to a false teacher, man, they gave them both barrels because they understood the heresy, what heresy could do, how heresy can lead somebody who is sincere but sincerely wrong right into hell. These men are setting up so many people to hear, depart from me because I never knew you, never did respond to the gospel. So God, I pray that at least in our little sphere here, Lord, I pray at least in this church and what we do on the internet through the downloads and all that, that at least we can proclaim the truth without compromise. And Lord, I pray that you would use the truth that is proclaimed to protect your children. Lord, give us discernment. Give us a hunger for the word. so that we're not setting ourselves up to be deceived. God, help us to be students of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.